The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Hey, thank you, fellas. God bless you, and that's good. Amen. I love to hear the boys sing. Amen. That's a blessing, and it's a blessing to see that Jonathan stayed at the piano and didn't go under it, too, this morning, and so that's also a blessing. The other day, he keeled out, and boy, I tell you what, he's laying over there shaking and stuff, and I didn't know what to do, but praise the Lord, he stayed up today, and so that's a blessing, amen. You know, God has been so very kind to our church, and God has helped to be able to show us how to get some newer buses, and recently, Brother Jeff Walters moved his ministry here, America for Christ, and became a ministry of our church, and how he was able to guide us as to how to get some newer buses, and so we're going to try to, as time allows, to replace some of the older buses that's on the fleet out there, and we're excited about that. Brother Dewey Whitfield is also moving his ministry here underneath our church from Pennsylvania area, and we're excited about Brother Whitfield coming and moving a ministry that's going to reach the Spanish-speaking areas of the Dallas metro, and so we're excited about him coming and heading up our Spanish department, and so many neat things are happening, and I'm just thrilled that we're together to see these things happening at this time in our ministry, and just to see all that God has for us in the future is such an exciting thing. Dormitories are being finished right now for our upcoming college students this coming fall, and so just so many neat things. Working on bathrooms over in the gymnasium now, so that we're tired of people going into the bathrooms over there and we just never see them again, and so hopefully we'll take care of that, and that way they don't wind up in China somewhere or something, and so we're hopefully taking care of that in the near future, and so just some really, really neat things. And then to see what God's doing in our church, how God is growing our church numerically, but not just that. I'm seeing people that are growing spiritually, and to me that is such a blessing, to see people grab a gospel truth, to see people grab a principle that they could take that principle and put it in their life, and it strengthens them in their personal walk with the Lord, and strengthens them in their relationship with other people and their families, and to me that's a tremendous blessing for people to stop me out in the hallway and say, "Preacher, I tell you what, that principle I not only understood, but I've adopted it in my personal life, and it's changed some things in my life." And that's a neat thing. Take your Bible and go back to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will, and we're going to read several other verses in conjunction with the verses we just read a moment ago. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers," it says, "for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, how long do we do that? Bible says, "Till we all come together in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, why do we do that? Look at verse 14. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love," watch what it says, why we should do this, "may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So the ultimate goal that God has for you to have a pastor and teachers and other ones in your life is to help you to grow up in Christ. Now, how is it that we can grow in the Lord? I mean, is there a way to grow in the Lord? Now, we know how to grow in our physical stature. We know how to do that. We had some couples that invited us out last night with the Berean Sunday School class, and we went out last night, and we fellowshiped together, and we sat around the table, and can I tell you, I was hungry when I sat down, and I was full when I left, and that was on purpose. And so how is it that we can grow in the Lord? What is it that we can do on purpose to grow in the Lord? What is it that you can put in your life? What is it that I can put in my life? The weightlifter who lifts weights, he has an ultimate goal, and that is to become physically stronger than he was before he ever started that purpose in his life. And so if that's true there, and it is, then how is it that I can become a stronger believer in Jesus Christ if I purpose some things in my life? Here we see in verse 11, the Bible says that God gave you a pastor. Now the pastor, according to the scriptures, is a gift to the New Testament local church. The pastor is given so that the New Testament local church, that is the born-again, baptized believers that are collectively coming together, can grow in the Lord. Now, why is that? The Bible says for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting simply means this. It means completely furnishing of the saints, to mature that which is the saints, to grow those saints up. It's almost like furnishing a home. You know, we first moved to Forney. We live in Forney. And when we first moved to Forney, we built a very nice house. And we were able to secure the money that we needed to be able to get the loan and all these things. But we didn't really have much furniture. You know, we came out of evangelism after serving in evangelism for 12 years. And so we really didn't have much furniture. But I didn't want to go in debt to buy the furniture. I wasn't in a hurry. And my dear wife wasn't in a hurry to be able to buy the furniture. But we had a nice house. And so oftentimes we invite people over the house. And we had this massive living room. And we would say this: you can sit anywhere you want to, because it was all just carpet. And so many times we would just invite people. For about the first 6 months to 8 months, we had no living room furniture. And so we invite people over, and they would get to sit on the floor with us, and we'd throw down a blanket or something like that. And we had some outside chairs, lawn chairs that we brought in, and we'd bring those lawn chairs in, and people could sit in the lawn chairs and stuff like that. And can I tell you, those were fun days. They were not complaining days. They were fun days, because after all, it's been a long time since we ever had a house. And so it was a neat time to be able to see what God is doing. Now we've got living room furniture. We've lived there for 5 years, and now we've got the couches and the love seats and the lazy boy recliner rocking chairs, and we've got all sorts of stuff that's in the house right now. And so if we invite people over, you could actually have a place to sit in our house. You know, you don't have to sit on the floor unless you want to, okay? But it took time to furnish that. It took time to be able to buy this article of furniture and to put it in there. It took time to be able to do that. And what I find among Christians is this: oftentimes, more than not, we get in a rush because we want everything right now. And sometimes as a Christian, you become very impatient with you. But understand that God is a patient God. And understand that God wants to work in and through your life. And oftentimes, more than not, what He'll do is He'll bring individuals in your life to be able to mentor you and to be able to help you and to be able to strengthen you and to be able to teach you Bible doctrine and Bible principles that will help you in your personal life to be able to govern your life and to direct your life in the direction that it ought to go. The Bible says here that these pastors, these teachers were given in your life so that it would edify you to be able to do that which is the work of God. Now, the word edify simply means to build up. Notice it, if you will, please. The Bible says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so what are we doing? We're trying to build up that which is the body of Christ. Now, how do we do that? We do that two ways. Number one, we do that by building you up, by teaching you Bible truth, by helping you to become sound in your doctrine and sound in your living. And by the way, don't get upset with us if all of a sudden you fall out of Sunday school, or you fall out of church, or you fall out of being obedient to Christ. Don't get upset with us if we come after you to try to love you and try to encourage you, because after all, that's what we have a heart to do. God has called us to be able to encourage you, to be able to help you, to be able to strengthen you. May I remind you, please, that the shepherd will leave the 99 and go after the one. All right? And so it's very important that we understand what these scriptures are teaching. Look down, if you will. The Bible says how long we're supposed to do it. Till we all come together in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man. It says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so I am supposed to do that. You are supposed to do that. We are supposed to do that until it comes time to go home to meet the Savior. And so we're supposed to do that until the coming of the Lord. We're supposed to continue to encourage and continue to build up and continue to try to serve and use the word minister and try to help and try to comfort and try to direct. And that's what we're supposed to do. So understand, we're not going to give up on you. We're not going to say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to throw up the hands and say, well, I tell you what, that person is not being faithful anymore, and that person's not serving God anymore, and that person's not living for Christ anymore, and so therefore, we're going to give up on that individual person. That is not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is us loving and helping and encouraging, and yes, we want you to do more for God. We want you to stand and be stronger in your faith. We want you to step out and trust God more by faith and be obedient to Him. But yet when a person begins to waver a little bit and they begin to shake a little bit and they begin to fall a little bit, first off, we're not going to go over and kick you. But what we're going to do is we're going to try and walk beside you and comfort you and encourage you and lead you and get you back in the saddle again so that you can take and ride on in your obedience to Jesus Christ. The Bible says here in verse 14, it says that henceforth, it says, be no more children tossed to and fro by and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. All right, so God says, as you allow us, as those that are staff, or as somebody that's a brother and a sister in Christ, to walk beside you and to comfort you, help you, instruct you, direct you, be able to walk before you, to give you an example, He said, here's what happens. Then, after a while, you're not like a child anymore. Because you're not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. By cunning craftiness. But now you're solid in your Bible. See, there was to stand up, if you will, and walk before me just a little bit, Brother Jonathan. See, there's a day when all of a sudden I'm walking before him and he is following and then he stops. He stops. And then I notice that he stops. When he stops, I'm not supposed to just keep walking on. As somebody that loves him, come on, if you have a brother, you have a sister, you have a mom, you have a dad, you have a caring friend, you know, they want you to grow closer to Christ. They yearn for that. And so that close friend, you know, don't get mad at somebody. All of a sudden, when you don't show up somewhere, it's somebody that cares about you, they shoot you a text. They call you on the phone to say, hey, just want to let you know I missed you. Just checking on you. Are you okay? That's what caring brothers do. That's what caring Christians do. All right, now wait a minute. And so as a leader in his life, yea, his pastor, as I'm walking along and all of a sudden I look back and he has fallen by the wayside or he has stopped his growth. He has stood still. He is not maturing anymore. He has come to a point, to a place where he says, I'm not moving. Then I've got to come back to him, and I have to try to edify him. I have to try to encourage him. Hey, yes, you can serve Christ. Hey, let me tell you, there's the blessing. There's the blessing. You can walk and you can get the blessing. Stand up with your Bible. There's the blessing. You can be blessed by God if you'll simply do what God says. If you'll simply obey what God says, you can have the blessings of God. And so I'm supposed to take him down a trail. I'm supposed to take him down a journey. I'm supposed to take him down a pathway so that he also can connect up to God himself and so that he can get the blessings of God in his life. Hey, that is a part of being a Christian leader in a local church that's trying to help the body of Christ. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. We understand this. The Bible says, and the outcome of that is that you will be no more children tossed about to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, well, let me tell you, there's a new doctrine. Can I tell you, dear beloved friend, there is no such thing as a new doctrine. Doctrines do not change from generation to generation.
The doctrines of the Word of God has always resounded, if you would please, or resounded in that which is a truth that has never changed. Amen. You know, the same truth that your parents heard is the same truth that you should be hearing. Amen. The same truth that your great-great-granddaddies heard is the same truth that you ought to be hearing. Amen. And by the way, if it's a new doctrine, it is probably a wrong doctrine. Yes. It is probably somebody that's added to or taken away from. All right, so wait a minute. Let's watch this. And so the Bible says we're supposed to do that until we are gathered at the coming of the Lord. And the Bible says the end result of that is we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But the Bible also says how to do it. The Bible says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, it says that you may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So God says, here's what I want you to do. I simply want you to grow up. See, there's a day when Brother Jonathan follows me and I'm walking along, and then maybe one day I look back and there's a day when Brother Jonathan follows me and I'm walking along, and one day I look back and he stops. And then I go and I encourage him. This is sort of like, if you would please, Barnabas encouraging young Saul. And all of a sudden, Barnabas encouraging Saul walking along. After a while, Saul becomes strong. Then he takes lead as the Apostle Paul. He turns back to Barnabas and says, let's go to visit every church in which we have preached and see how they do. So how do you know when somebody is strong enough? Watch this. How do you know when you've discipled somebody long enough? Watch this. Long as I have to keep doing this. Hey, love to see you on Sunday night. Love to see you on Wednesday night. Love to see Sunday school. Young Fundamentals. Discipleship. All right, wait. How do I know when he is strong enough? Here's what happens. Then all of a sudden, he's serving God. And he's trying to get me to do more.
Let's go. Five soul winning opportunities. Five soul winning opportunities. Preacher would love it if you came. Come on, this way.
It changes roles. Hey, how do you know when your kid is mature enough? It's when he starts brushing his teeth on his own. How do you know when your kid is maturing? Hey, they pick up their own clothes and put them away. Hey, how do you know all of a sudden when your child is maturing? Because now they become a servant, not always wanting to be served. It's not about me anymore in the child's life. It's about mom and dad. It's not about what pleases me in my life. Now it's about what can I do to please my parents. That's maturity. Wait a minute. Be seated if you will. Notice this. The Bible says over in 3 John 2, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospereth. All right? So here is John, and he's writing Gaius here, and he says, look, he said, man, he said, I want your soul to prosper just as much as your physical being is prospering. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. In verse 18 of 2 Peter chapter 3, it says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. So what is it that we can do about growth? Let me give you a couple of statements, okay, as I finish up. Statement number one, okay, face the fact that we all need to grow. Face the fact that we all need to grow. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, I read just a moment ago, it says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. All right, so God says, but grow in grace. Everybody needs to grow. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 40 years, you still need to grow. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for 2 months, you still need to grow. It doesn't matter if you were a former pastor, former deacon, former missionary, you still need to grow. It doesn't matter if you were raised in the church. You came up from the nursery all the way through the high school, through our Bible college. You still need to grow. It doesn't matter if you're living in an affluent neighborhood or a poor neighborhood. You still need to grow. It doesn't matter if you live in a trailer park or an exclusive $500,000 home. You still need to grow. It doesn't matter if you work in downtown Dallas or on the perimeters outside. You still need to grow. It doesn't matter if you married a husband that knows the Bible well. You still need to grow. It doesn't matter if you married a wife that's a Bible expert. You still need to grow. Everybody needs to grow. Now, by the way, you need to grow as an individual. You need to grow if you're a layman. You need to grow if you're a choir member. You need to grow. Everybody's responsible for individual growth. All right, so statement number one, you face the fact that we all need to grow. Statement number two, be willing to grow. Be willing to grow. Went out to eat with the couples the other night that invited my wife and I out. Had a wonderful time of fellowship. I thank them so much for that. We sat down at the table. There was a menu. We chose from the menu. The man delivered the food. Food sat there in front of us. We could have either ate it or not. Now, I chose to eat it. But that was by choice. I mean, he could have delivered the food. I could have sat there and smelled it. I could have sat there and lusted after it. I could have sat there and said, oh, it's going to taste good. Oh, it's going to taste so good. But never tasted it. But I didn't do that. We prayed. I dug in. If I could have licked my plate, I would have. I mean, it was good. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, okay? But I was willing to grow. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So he said there needs to be a desire. We have Andrew, our first grandbaby. Can I tell you, he lets everybody know when he's hungry. You can do anything you want to pacify that kid. But he's not going to stop crying. And he is not going to stop giving his voice of this is what I want until his need has been fixed and he's been fed. Now, would to God that you and I as believers would be that way. Would to God that there would be a group of people that would simply say, well, I tell you what, I've got to go to church. Man, I just got to go. I mean, I'm hungry. I just got to go. I'm not getting enough food on my own. I want somebody to deliver me a T-bone steak right in front of me, and it's paid for. Man, I just want to go to a place where I can lap it up and take it in and just continue to eat it. Now, wait a minute. That all has to do with one word, desire. You know, whatever you desire is what you're going to go after. I've seen people, you won't believe this, I know you won't believe this, but I've seen people that's missed church to go to a ball game. I know that's incredible to believe. But that showed me their desire. I've seen people that miss church don't have to work. I mean, it's not required of them, but just for extra hours shows me their desire. I've seen people at Miss Church just to sleep in extra saying, I'm going to get beauty sleep. Hadn't worked, but they're still hoping. Desire. Desire. Come on. Desire. Mike Ray and I was preaching a conference over in the Philippines. Had this just really a pale-looking horse. We got in the back of the buggy, and the horse is going up an incline. I felt for the horse. That horse was, I mean, all the way up the hill. Barely making it up the hill. And then when it got up the hill, it looked at us and snorted. Like, I made it, ha ha. Had a desire. Just had a desire. Can I tell you, desires will make the difference. A person will live for Christ or not live for Christ according to their desire. It's not hard to understand. Person to come to church and enjoy it, or come to church and not enjoy it according to their desires. Person will read their Bible or not read their Bible according to their desires. A girl will get married one day or choose never to get married according to her desires. A man will go out and take a certain job, get training for it, and fulfill the calls according to his desires. Now God says, here's a person as a newborn babe that ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Ought to be so hungry for the Word of God that we decide that we're going to give it as much of it as we possibly can. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I decide that I have a desire. I have a desire for Bible knowledge. I have a desire to live separated from a wicked world. I have a desire to learn how to follow Jesus Christ as a faithful, dedicated Christian of Christ. I have a desire to be loyal to that which is the truth of the Word of God. I have a desire to get to know people and help them. I have a desire to tithe and then give after I learn to tithe. And I have a desire to live by faith and to be obedient. I have a desire. I'm feedable, I want to be teachable, and I want to be leadable. That all comes with desire. Come on. You know, you cannot, I love, years ago I developed a taste for it. I love carrot juice. We're having some health issues back in Tennessee when I pastored many years ago. And so I love apples and carrots juiced together, carrot juice. Apples give it a little bit of sweetness. And I love that. I love it. I don't do it much anymore, but I tell you what, when I can, I will. And I love the taste of it. But can I tell you, it was because I started it many, many, many years ago that I acquired a taste for it, a desire. My dad worked at Baltimore City at the Maryland National Bank. I remember at the age of 13, my daddy, for the very first time I've ever seen it in my life, brought pizza home. We had never seen pizza. We didn't know what pizza was. He brought pizza home. Now, I'm just going to tell you how I felt about it. But it looked like that somebody got sick on a piece of bread. And I thought, this is gross looking. I mean, who in the world would want to eat this stuff that's called pizza? And my dad said, if you taste it, Mike, you're going to be sold. I said, Dad, come on. That looks gross. I mean, who would want to be sold on something that looks absolutely so gross? He said, I'll make you a deal. He said, if I eat some before you have a chance, will you try it? I said, sure. You know, he's going to be my cupbearer. If he doesn't die, it's okay. And said, and man, he did this Andy Griffith thing, you know, where he put it in his mouth and, it's so good. And I thought, oh, he's putting it on. And he said, it is so good, Mike, you need to try it. And I said, okay, Dad, I trust you. That's why I will try it. And so I tried it. And can I tell you, one of my favorite foods today at age 55 is pizza. Man, I love pizza. You walk in the room and you got pizza and I smell it, my stomach begins to quiver with heavenly quivers. I mean, I love that stuff. Put a little bit of hot sauce on it. Whoo! You're in heaven, son. Now, can I tell you this, however, it had to start with a desire. Had to start with a desire. I remember the first time I ever led somebody to Christ is when I was 18 years of age, right after I got saved. I understood the gospel, and I went to my best friend, Wade Wagner, that was a Methodist fella, and I was a Catholic by birth, but I understood the gospel, and I understood my need of Christ. I bowed my heart, received Christ as Savior, so I went to my best friend, Wade Wagner. And I remember taking the gospel and talking to Wade out in the barn, and boy, I took that gospel and I showed Wade how to be saved, and Wade bowed his heart, my best friend, and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Knowing that, why did I have a desire to do that? Because I understood the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I understood that I was a lost person without Christ. I needed Christ, and so I wanted everybody I knew to be able to be introduced to the great Savior that I myself had received. And so I went to my best friend and I showed him how to be saved. Now wait, why did I do that? Desire. So statement number one, face the fact that we all need to grow. Statement number two, okay, be willing to grow. Statement number three, to grow, we must live sometimes what we don't understand. When my parents was telling me, brush your teeth, they did not give me a lecture on three elementary reasons why you should brush your teeth. My dad, mom said, brush your teeth. They said, clean the room. Dad said, split and cord the wood. They didn't have to give me details. They just told me what to do. Now wait, watch this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Here's what it says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now watch it, because this is where a lot of people mess up. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding. We live in a very high-tech society. And most people, if they cannot understand it, they won't do it. Which involves taking away their faith and their trust in the one that knows better than they do. You know, there's a lot of things about God you're not going to be able to explain. One thing you better know, however, he is God. The Bible says here, trust not, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. He said, if you'll simply just trust him, you know, we sing the song, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Okay? And so we ought to decide that we're going to be that way with our Savior, to trust him. Trust him. Well, I just don't understand how a God in heaven could pay such individual attention to me and meet my need. I don't understand it either, but I can tell you, dear beloved friend, it's true. God can answer your prayer, and God can come through, and God can bless you, and God can help you, and God is there right for you, and he'll meet you every single step of the way, but you've got to decide as an individual, you'll step out and trust him. Here's what it talks about here. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, we are bound, it says, to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Now, wait a minute. Why was there a great trust in these individuals? Because people saw their faith and it was growing exceedingly. Say, preacher, I want people to trust me more. Then live for him more. Live for him more. Well, I want people to be able to give me a greater responsibility in Christ. Well, live for him more. All right, statement number one, I said this. Face the fact that we all need to grow. Statement number two, be willing to grow. Be willing to grow. Statement number three, okay, growing sometimes means that you must live without a complete understanding. Statement number four, to grow, we must live sometimes what we don't like. Sometimes growth means that you have to do things that you do not like. The other week, my family, I was, I think, the first one to get sick in the family, and then I had some stomach issues last week and whatnot, and I don't like medicine. I really don't like medicine. Pepto-Bismol is not one of my favorite pink drinks. But can I tell you, when my stomach becomes acidy, I take that, and every single time I take that, it takes it away. I don't like the taste of it. I don't like the look of it. I don't like the smell of it, but it works. Now, you know, sometimes we have to take things that we don't like, that we don't like. Come on. You know, sometimes being a dad is hard. Have you figured that out yet? Sometimes being a mom is hard. Have you figured that out yet? Sometimes being a teenager that has a mom and a dad is hard. Have you figured that out yet? You know, life is not all rosy all the time. You know, come on, sometimes somebody said, man, when I married her, I could have ate her up. Now, I've been married for 2.5 years. I wish I would have. Somebody said, opposites attract, and then they attack. I'm saying this. I'm saying, you know, you must understand that sometimes you have to take and be somebody that you do things you don't necessarily like. You don't wake up in the morning spiritual. You don't. You don't. But it's still right to read your Bible. You don't wake up in the morning and say, boy, I tell you what, today I'm going to pray. It's going to be great. Me and God, we're going to work together. It's going to be super. Normally, you don't do that. But it's still right to walk with God. Still right to trust Him and pray. Come on. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, this is Paul speaking. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual. He says, but I am carnal. He said, sold under sin. Verse 15, he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. And what I hate, that I do. He said, you know, I've got issues here. He said, the things that I know is right to do, I have a hard time doing them. The things that I know is wrong to do, I find myself doing them. Now that was Paul. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For it says, to will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, I've got this will, and I know that I should be doing this. He said, but inside of me, I don't have the strength to do it. Inside of me, I know I'm supposed to be doing this. There's a Holy Ghost that says, do this, do this, do this. But inside of me, I just don't have the will to perform it. Listen to what he says in the next verse. He says, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He said, I just keep messing up over and over and over and over and over again. But the thing about Paul is that when Paul messed up, he didn't give up. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't say it's all over. All right? So you must grow by sometimes doing the things you don't like. Let me give you one last statement. Statement last, okay? Stay away from that which hinders you. Guy says, I tell you what, got trouble with alcohol. Then what are you doing going in the bar drinking milk? What does hinder you? Is that what the Bible says? No. It says who doth hinder you. You know, we have different who's in our life. You know that?
Yeah. Right.
We do. We have different who's in our life. There are the who's that are good for us, spiritual, going to church, loving God. And then there's the who's that are just not good for us. Man, they're drinking, they're smoking, they're cursing, they're doping, they're running around with the wrong crowd. You have to make choices. Because I'm going to tell you, whoever your who's are is where you'll wind up walking. You've got to get the right who's in your life. Now, thank God for church. Thank God for a place where you can come, you can find a Sunday school teacher, an assistant Sunday school teacher. Hey, you can find somebody that's an outstanding Christian that's at least trying to live for God. Here's what it says. Mark chapter 4 and verse 7, I'm done. Here's what it says. And some fell among thorns. The Bible says, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. You know what I've had to do in my life, just like you're going to have to in your life? You're going to have to make choices. Come on. Choices to be around people that will encourage you. And by the way, everybody in here from time to time, you're going to get down. So how do you know that, preacher? Because you're human. You're human. Come on. You're going to have issues. You're going to have problems. You're going to have disappointments. You're going to have challenges in your life. Every single person in here. Hey, don't think that there's people in here better than you are. Because everybody in here has the same common flesh as you. Same weaknesses as you. So what do you need? You need somebody, Brother Butler, you need somebody that you put in front of you, better Christian than you are, that walks. So yeah, I don't know everything about God, but man, he's walking with God. He's preaching the Bible, teaching the Bible. You know, he's trying. Maybe I can just kind of like hold on for a little while. You know, maybe I can just, you know, this Christianity stuff, going to that fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul winning, separated, Baptist, church, it's different. You know, they didn't have the people that got up and sang. I didn't see any performance today. It was all about God. Man, I didn't come here feeling like, man, I just went to a rock concert. It's different. These people are a bunch of squares. I mean, you know, they just believe that God can do it. What's with them? You find somebody that is more square than you are. I found Brother Butler. Here we go. So I just hold on. And I'm going somewhere. Oh, you say, but that's not fair, man. You're supposed to be walking on your own. I don't know how. First time I ever went to a Baptist church scared me to death. Weird people. You know, I'm crazy stuff. Guy was preaching, shouting, spitting, sweating. I thought, man, who's he mad at? He's having a conniption fit. I think I want to go back, see if he'll do it again. And I did, he did. Went back Sunday night. Man, he was ripping and snorting more on Sunday night than he did on Sunday morning. You could tell his crowd was there. They had to love him and love the Bible because they wanted to put up with it otherwise. Man, he ripped and snorted. Went back Wednesday night, a little bit more milder. Still preaching the Bible. Just kept following. After a while, just kind of thought, man, you know, I think I can make it a little bit. After a while, I think I'm going to try it on my own. Just kept going. After a while, the guy that was walking in front of me, too slow for me. I picked it up. Come on. I just kept picking it up. Come on. I just kept picking it up. You realize that's what God can do in your life? But it starts here, desire.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.